Please welcome to the stage, Lewis Black!
Let's try to get a grip. Okay, obviously another long Minnesota winter. It's nice to be here in the summer because I've always come here in the winter and wondered why the fuck you would live here. Everyone always says, oh, you should come in the summer. They're exceptional. Well, yeah, because you can move your fucking fingers and toes. You know, I like it here. It's a great city, but it's too fucking cold. And the fact that seriously you don't laugh louder at that is goddamn scary. You really literally have no idea. You don't. You don't have any concept. You live in it. Much like when you watch someone and it's 90 degrees out and they're wearing a sweater and you're going, he's fucked up. You live in a cold that human beings aren't supposed to live in. And it's no kind of test to the human spirit. It's fucking stupid. When you have to plug in your engine to make sure it starts in the morning, that's a tip. And when we sit in there, you know, during the winter, and you go, boy, you know, let's see what's happening in Minneapolis, and I'll go, fucking, it's 20 below. That is not weather. That's an emergency condition. And at that point, if you had any brains, you call the federal government and you say, get us the fuck out of here. Fly me to some place where it's like 20. Who settled Minnesota? To me, it's beyond belief that people came here and fucking stayed. I mean, there was something here, and people went, oh boy, look, there's a Walmart. This'll be great. Minnesota, of course, was settled by many people from Scandinavia, who literally just in the 18th century had it with the country they were living in. They turn to their friend and go, Sven, this is shit. I cannot live like this. It's fucking cold every night. I must find a new land. And then they got on a wooden ship, which is, I'd never, okay? I never would have left. I'm serious. If I went down to the dock and they said, that's what you're gonna go on, I said, fuck you. First thing I wanna know is, where am I gonna shit? They got on a boat and they came across the sea and they got to the East Coast to a temperate climate. A temperate climate. And then they decided to keep going. They'd arrived in a place which was already settled, and what lay beyond was fucking, no one knew. And they went, no, let's go through the woods. They literally had to think, there is someplace better, where it is nicer. And to go through the woods at that time, imagine, because they're coming from Scandinavia, and now they're here, and goddammit, they're different fuck animals. How creepy is that to turn the corner? Holy shit, look at that! What the fuck is that? Let's eat it. And as they moved through the forest, as many Scandinavians do, they drank. And as they drank, and as they moved, they drifted toward the right. And further north they went, until they arrived in Minnesota and went, "Fuck! We're home!" This is perfect. Just as cold. We had the coldest winter on record this year, but you people didn't notice. It was an utter dog shit winter. And dog shit would have been better because it's warmer. The dry cleaning bills are higher, but I don't care. No, it was the coldest winter, literally, that I can remember in my life. You know, it was really nice weather if you were a fucking moose. If you had fur on your nuts, it was a festival out there. I didn't have a thought the whole winter. Seriously, I spent the whole winter, the only thought I had was, fuck, it's cold! Or it's cold as fuck! Halfway through the winter, I decided I didn't want to be a comic anymore. I wanted to be a bear. Because bears are more evolved. It gets cold, and what does the bear do? He goes, "Well, I'm going to bed. This blows." And then it gets warm, and he goes, "Well, fuck, time to wake up." They've got to stop reporting wind chill. That's nonsense. It really is. I don't know where they came up with it, why they came up with it. It's a lie. If they come out, "Well, it's 27 degrees today, but with the wind chill, it's minus 3. Well, then it's minus 3, asshole! I don't need to know what the weather was like if conditions were perfect. It was too goddamn cold. And there's no reason for that. You shouldn't have to live under these kind of conditions during the winter. We had a huge surplus a few years ago. And I'd like to figure out where the fuck it went! And we even have money now that could be used for a project that I have to prevent this kind of nonsense. You know, we just had the president and the Congress, in their infinite wisdom, decided that what would really stimulate the economy is a $350 billion tax cut at a time in which every fucking state in the union is broke. We don't have any fucking money. So what the fuck money are you cutting? What tax money are you cutting? What the fuck's being cut? It's not there. It's not fucking there. It doesn't exist. Going to stimulate anything if you have nothing to fucking... You just made the money up, you fucking assholes! So as long as they think we have that money, then we should use that money to build the giant wall up in Canada. Because that's where the cold air comes from. I've been lucky enough this year to travel a lot outside of the United States, and it's something you should do when you get the chance. I was in Italy, and I'll tell you, for those of you who haven't been there, Jesus Christ is big there. I mean, I should have suspected that, but more big than I even imagined. He's everywhere. He's got pictures. They've got fucking photos. They have photos. He's in every nook and cranny of Italy. He's like the Coca-Cola of Italy. Just a month ago, I came back from a trip. I performed in New Zealand, Australia, and Ireland. And I'll tell you this. To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. And if you have that opportunity, fuck it. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. I have your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. I have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, fucking yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop! 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I fucking had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again. Speak gibberish. Speak pig Latin, you fuck. And if they really wanted to be a part of the community, I think they should jump off their island and push it closer. They should show an interest. Everybody says New Zealand's beautiful, and nobody really knows, because after 19 hours on a plane, anything's fucking beautiful. It could have been an ice floe out there with two penguins blowing each other. And I'd have been happy to land and perform for them. The country that I find that I really enjoyed the most in the only other place I'd ever consider living in, besides here, is Ireland. And if you drink and you've not been there, get off your ass. You're going to want to go there. A lot of us, you know, Americans, when we leave the country, we go to a place and then we drink when we're there. And you go to the Caribbean and you drink those banana fuck frou-frou drinks. And that's bullshit, okay? Go to Ireland where you can learn something about drinking. And they have a much healthier attitude toward drinking than we do. This country every year becomes more uptight about alcohol. Every year it's worse. Every time now that you're standing at the bar, there's always that friend at last call you go, you know, I think I'll have another drink. And then there's the asshole who says, really? That's right, shithead! I'm gonna have another drink, and the reason I'm gonna have another drink is because the dogs are still barking in my head. Got it? And I pay a psychiatrist a lot of money to stop the dogs from barking, but this doesn't work. It doesn't work. In Ireland, when you say, I think I'll have another drink, everyone goes, why wouldn't you? There are no fights in Ireland. The people get so drunk, it's just, God damn you, son of a bitch, and then they pass out. And there's no Alcoholics Anonymous, because if there's a meeting in Ireland, it's always at the bar. Ireland is a country that was founded around a river of liquor. And every year, their history is a refinement of the art and the craft of drinking. They've done something no other culture's ever done. They brought together religion and alcohol. I have to tell you, it makes a Jew weep. They get drunk, and they pass out, and then they wake up, and they feel guilty, so they have to drink again. It's a perfect circle. One of the things I enjoy most about Ireland, and something that many people in this country don't understand, is that the Irish don't give a shit about health. And that makes it a great country. We exhaust ourselves worrying about our health. We're obsessed with it. We worry about our health. And when we worry about our health, guess what? We're not fucking healthy. We're so worried about our health that we are now the fattest group of fucks on the planet Earth. Should I eat this or should I eat this? Well, I'll have to eat both. We believe in many of us that pills will cure anything. I got an email. Every 6 emails I get now is, would you like bigger breasts? And after a year of receiving those emails, I'm thinking about it. Might be a nice addition to the act. During the silence, I can play with them. And then when I'm not funny anymore, people still come to see me. He's not that funny, but fuck, he's got a rack. I wish he'd wear something more revealing. The other one I get, when I don't get that one, and it's always the same. If you want a big dick, click here. Click, 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 smash, smash, you fucking, come on! I said I wanted a big dick. Apparently, there are a group of people in this country who believe if they take a pill, their penis will get larger. How far gone would you have to be? The only people who could be ordering that pill are people who are trying to feed that pill to their penis. I guess he wasn't eating enough. I didn't realize his mouth was so small. We do get this constant barrage of information. Everything that we've been told about what is good for us changes constantly. We don't know. Is milk good? I rest my case. 3 people answered, and the rest of you are like... We don't know. We've got no idea. In New Zealand, they've gone this far, because they got a lot of fucking time on their hands. Scientists there believe that the milk that we're drinking now isn't healthy, because children drink so much milk and a lot of what's in that milk causes heart disease and diabetes later in life. What child is drinking too much milk? Where on the fucking planet is there a child who's a milk fuck junkie? When was the last time you had a kid in the fridge going, "Hey, back off, Johnny! Get away from there, you little son of a bitch! You've been... No, drop the carton, goddammit! I'm taking you to milk rehab, you little shit!" We don't know if milk's healthy, because now there's not one kind of milk anymore. When I was a kid, there was one kind of milk, moo cow fuck milk. That was it. And maybe chocolate moo cow fuck milk, too. Now, you go to a store and you walk down an aisle and it's like low-fat milk, 2% milk, skim milk, acidophilus milk. Well, that should be in the yogurt section. Lactose intolerant milk. What the fuck is that? If you're lactose intolerant, you can't drink milk, okay? That's the deal. What the fuck's in that carton? Soy milk. That's bullshit on a stick. There's no such thing as soy milk. Okay? And I know that. Because there's no soy tit, is there? I don't know a lot, but I know you need a breast for milk. It's soy juice. Nobody's gonna fucking drink soy juice. I've been thinking that somebody could make $1 billion selling chimpanzee milk. No shit. You don't fucking look like I'm crazy. You can fucking sell chimp milk at this point. They sell goat milk, so fuck you. A chimp's closer to us. Just so you have to say in the back is, and you'll have a big dick. Tough thing is coming up with a chimp that's not got his dick in his hand going, wah. That photo's hard to come by. But it might work, huh? We even destroyed water in this country. It's the essence of life. Simplest thing that we have in terms of our health. And we destroyed it. When I was a kid, water was a very simple thing. When I was 9 and I was thirsty, I would go to the sink, and with my little cup, I'd get some water. And then I'd drink it. And then I'd go outside and play. God damn, life was wonderful. Can't do that anymore. Because most communities, in order to save money, stop cleaning their water as properly as they should. I tour all the time, and in some cities, you turn that water on and you go, fuck, I can't light a match in here. And so we're now saving all that money from the water that we used to pay for. It was our water, really free water. We said, we'll save the money. And what we'll do is we'll use that money to buy water in bottles. We buy bottles of water now. We buy bottles of water from Pepsi and Coke. Because if anybody knows water, it's fucking Pepsi and Coke. We buy spring water. Has anybody seen a spring? I don't fucking think so. You drink spring water and you've never fucking seen the spring it came from. It says spring and you go, ooh, that must be good. Deer Park water, fuck Deer Park. There's a picture of a deer. I don't want a deer pissing and shitting in my water. I'll tell you what a spring is. It's a guy in Pittsburgh in his bathtub filling those fucking bottles. And as soon as water stopped being free, they said that in order for us to be healthy, we should be drinking 8 bottles of water a day. When it was nothing, it was like, fuck, take a sip. Now it's like it costs, so fucking chug, you prick. 8 bottles of water a day, imagine that. Son of a bitch. That's like a fucking homework assignment. How many bottles did I drink? Fuck, I forgot. 56 bottles a week. I need a goddamn burrow to carry this shit around with me. And if you don't drink 56 bottles of water a week, scientists say that you should take a garden hose at the end of the week and shove it up your ass. People actually, in Minneapolis, in New York City where I live, in every major urban area, will leave their apartments with a giant bottle of water. And they won't leave their apartment without it. If they forget it, they have to run back in and get it. They have a giant bottle of water walking in to the city of Minneapolis as if they were crossing the fucking Mojave. What if I never see water again? Some doctors, however, have discovered in their own tests that they feel that many of us are drinking too much water. And as a result, We're now pissing away proper nutrients and minerals. By your silence and tension, Summer, you were fucked, aren't you? You hadn't read that. You had your little bottles of water lined up for tomorrow. And now you're thinking, well, maybe five. It's because they don't know. They've never known. Every piece of information I've been given about my health has been changed 10 times in my lifetime. They don't know. They continue to act like they know just because they have a rectal thermometer in their pocket. As if it was an appeal to a higher authority. I can shove this up your ass. Because there are no general rules of health. Everyone's health is completely different from everyone else's. Whatever's good for one of you is not good for the person sitting next to you, and it goes like that. We're all different. We're all snowflakes. There are two general rules of health that I thought of that I think work. First is that the good die young and pricks live forever. And if you masturbate, and I know this for a fact because I did the work in my own lab. I was wearing a lab coat at the time. If you masturbate 20 times a day, you'll never get out the door. You may get out the door, but then you'll fall down. I know that there are no general rules of health because there was a gentleman living in New York City a few years ago who was 115. He was the oldest man living in New York, and he was doing quite well. He lived on his own, got around with no trouble, and could deal with everything that came his way. And people asked him, of course, well, what was your diet? What are you eating? Then he narrowed his diet down. And from the ages of 90 to 115, his diet consisted mostly of 3 gallons of Thunderbird wine a week and bread fried in fatback. When they asked him, why don't you fry your bread in bacon? He said, bacon's too lean. Here's a man who knew exactly what his body needed, and he lived a rich, full life on what one would think is fucking rocket fuel. And if he'd gone to a doctor, the doctor would have been, what the fuck is the matter with you? You're out of control, goddammit. You know what? You're going to have to start eating vegetables. And he would have, and he'd have been dead in a week. You know, one of the other things that I do like about Ireland is the fact that there are no health clubs there. And I deeply appreciate that. My generation should be punished severely for creating the health club. It's a horrible, horrible place. I don't understand. And I have lots of friends that go to them, and it makes me want to hit them. I don't understand them. First off, I don't like the costume. And nobody looks good in a Speedo. Nobody. No one ever has. No one ever will. I tried a Speedo on the other day, and I got it to my knees, and I said, fuck, this is what a sausage feels like. People wander around going, how do I look in my Speedo? Well, it looks like you're carrying grapes in the wrong place. Health clubs aren't healthy in New York City, which has the most stairs of anywhere in the country. People pay money to go to a health club and use the Stairmaster. When you live in a city that has nothing but stairs and you pay money to use special stairs, that is not healthy behavior. It's fucking psychotic! I knew I wasn't going to last at the health club when I found myself on the treadmill for the first time. And I was running in place and I'm thinking, fuck, I hate to run. But it seems to me if you're going to be running, when you're done, you should be somewhere else. So, So I'm running in place, and then I realize there's a mirror in front of me, and I'm going, well, what the fuck is that for? That's a really great idea, so I can watch myself do something I fucking don't like to do. Now I can think about how much I hate what the fuck I'm doing. Then I noticed that there are mirrors in everywhere. Every health club, it's literally surrounded by mirrors. Because apparently, many of our fellow Americans like to exercise and watch themselves exercise. Which is why I believe there should be a psychiatrist on duty at every health club. Because if you're actually spending a portion of your week watching your muscle grow, your ego's reached a point where it's eating itself. And so I believe that the psychiatrist should grab you and take you away for a little chat. So I'm running in place, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to get there. And I believe the human brain is so smart that when it watches you watch yourself, watch you watch yourself do something you shouldn't be fucking doing, it says, you are so stupid, I will kill you. There's a health concern that's kind of fallen by the wayside. It was big news a while ago, but it's still always present. And that's the possibility that there may be a smallpox epidemic in this country. Unbelievable. A smallpox epidemic. How could that be possible? And the reason is because the smallpox vaccine that we were given and that I was told was going to last forever wore off. And our government waited until a possible emergency condition to inform us. Now that's a crackerjack group of fuckers, isn't it? How could you fucking not call us? Hey, Lou, your smallpox vaccine wore off. You want another? You fucking wait, I want another! Because my whole life has been a delusion. Because every day I'd wake up and I'd go, you know, it's going to suck today, but at least I'm not getting smallpox. To wait as long as the federal government waited to tell us about this, it's as if you went to a public bathroom and you flushed the toilet and the toilet water just hit you in the face. And then as you walked out of the bathroom, on the door was a big sign, warning, toilet water may hit you in the face. If I get smallpox, I'll file suit against the federal government because they took me out of a very important class to get that vaccine, and if I'd taken that class, I wouldn't have to do this bullshit for a living. I'd have a real job like with WorldCom or Enron or Tyco or Global Crossing. Or Adelphia. Any of those wonderful companies that have done so much to inspire us in terms of being confident when we put our money in the stock market. The federal government has not dealt with it in any way. None whatsoever. They can't seem to come up with laws. It's pretty simple. You don't want another Enron? Here's the law. If you have a company and it can't explain in one sentence what it does, it's illegal. The guys who ran these companies are the greediest people who've ever lived on the planet. That's a fact. This country has a ton of greedy people. And the greediest of the greedy saw what these guys did and went, wow, that's fucking greedy. I wish I'd thought of that. They just made the numbers up. Fuck, that was simple. I'm so stupid. These people were so greedy that the word greedy doesn't even apply to them. There should be a new word for the level of greed. It should be piggy, 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 fuck piggy, piggy. Imagine this, a father and two sons run a company called Adelphia. And they take from a company $1 billion. Three people took $1 billion. Three people took $1 billion. Three took $1 billion. What were they going to do? Start their own space program? That's right, Dad. We can launch our own animals. They took $13 million of company money and used it to build a golf course in their own backyard. I'm just amazed that the people who worked for that company and knew that they did that didn't rise as one and slay them. I have never understood why the people of France chopped off Marie Antoinette's head. Now I fucking get it! Dennis Kozlowski runs Tyco. He takes from the company $463 million because he had a lot of shit to buy. I'd like 5 tons of toothpaste. He took $16,000 of his money and used it to buy an umbrella stand. I will repeat that. He bought a $16,000 umbrella stand. The mind reels. Because many of us have an umbrella stand, and we call it a bathtub. My parents bought a $16,000 used car. You could put a lot of umbrellas in there. When you spend $16,000 on an umbrella stand, it's got to be made out of something very special in order to compel you to think, God, I can't live without that. I think it was probably made out of Martha Stewart's vagina. What, is some of you shocked? You're shocked because you didn't know she had one. How did she make her money? That's, you know, I really wonder. Actually, when I get up to heaven and God's there just before he says to me, what the fuck are you doing here? That's the question I'm going to ask. Where the fuck did Martha Stewart get her goddamn money, God? And he'll say, just get the fuck out of my face. Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Who watches her show? What woman in her right goddamn mind watches that show? What level of self-loathing does a woman have to be at to watch Martha Stewart? To watch a woman do something in a half hour that you could have a whole year to do and you wouldn't even fucking come close. And in the middle of it, you'd be going, why the fuck am I doing this? Men don't watch it because there's nothing to scratch your balls to. And gay people don't watch it because it's beyond gay. It's in a realm gayer than gay. It has a gayosity that is beyond gayness. Even the gays are going, she's out of control. I think the bitch needs medication. You watch that show and she comes on, today, I'm going to macrame a fetus. And at the end of the show, there's an infant crawling around on the kitchen floor with a Civil War uniform she knitted and she baked a cherry pie. Dennis Kozlowski also spent $6,000 on a shower curtain. That's right. He bought a $6,000 shower curtain. Why would you spend that much money on a bathroom? It's a bathroom. You're not going to change a bathroom. It's where you shit, you idiot. You can have a gold toilet. You're still going to take a dump in it. These guys should do hard time for what they did. And they should, and they won't. Our president said that they should do at least 10 years in prison, and our president is not in touch with reality. He's not, because it's not enough time. It really does show a lack of respect for the people who were fucked. It really does. 10 years? Fuck you. These people committed crimes, and we don't even know the level of damage that they did. And they're not going to do, they're not going to even do 10 years. Chances are most of them will get off. They won't have to do anywhere near the kind of punishment they deserve. So I say, fuck the legal system. You know what you do? Send them to the nut house. We don't need a judge or a jury. All you need is a 9-year-old with common sense. You say, hey, Three people took $1 billion. What do you think? And the kid would go, that's fucking nuts. These people should be forced for 20 years to sit next to somebody who's crocheting something that isn't there. I was trying to think what I would do with $463 million. That's a lot of money. What these guys did with the money really showed no creativity whatsoever. A lot of what occurred was mostly these guys were trying to one-up each other. And so they bought houses, second and third homes that they decorated and didn't live in, but they got a tax write-off for. And I'd have a joke about that, but it makes me too fucking angry. They bought cars, more cars than a family needs. They bought objects of art they didn't even look at. They bought things. They just acquired. Because many, many people in this country, for reasons that escape me, still believe that he who has the most things when he dies wins. Well, you're dead, fucknut. So, you didn't win. See, if you have that kind of money, I think the way you one-up people is by being creative. And what I would do with that kind of money is I would use that cash to hire a young woman in her early 20s. I'd pay her a great salary, she'd have a tremendous pension, and the best health benefits money could buy. And she would be my personal ball washer. Now, I can sense some of you in the audience pulling away from me. And I have to say that upsets me because I came a long way just to share my dream with you. Is it too much to ask to have someone walking in front of me, scrubbing and rinsing, scrubbing and rinsing, scrubbing and rinsing, scrubbing and rinsing, rinse, rinse, scrub, scrub, rinse, rinse, scrub, scrub? Because I am an important CEO and my nuts should be clean. And then the other CEOs would gather. And they go, who's that? And they go, who is that? That is my personal ball washer. What did you guys buy? Another car? People have asked and wonder how it could come to pass that business in this country could get completely out of control. And it's pretty understandable now. Everybody knows what the truth of the situation is now, because it's obvious. And that is, the fact is that business and government have been in bed together our whole lives. And the difference is they used to keep it hidden. They used to be fucking each other, but we didn't know about it. It's like when you're at a hotel and you know somebody's fucking somewhere, but you don't know where. Somebody's fucking. I know somebody's fucking. Now they do it right in front of us. They have no guilt whatsoever. They're just like two big dogs that are stuck together and they can't separate. Even a glass of water won't stop them. They're out of control. But that's just the way it is. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. Okay, it doesn't matter. Both parties are up to their neck in this. It's unbelievable. You can take any political leader you want. Take Vice President Cheney, when and if you can fucking find him. He was completely gone. Then we went to war in Iraq, and he shows up on Sunday. We're going to go to war in Iraq, ha! And then he ran away again. I don't even think it's Dick Cheney anymore. I think he looks suspiciously like my old shop teacher. Dick Cheney works for the federal government most of his life, and he was a public servant, and that's to his credit. And then, as many public servants do, he went to work in the private sector. He's hired by Halliburton, an international oil company that hires him to be the CEO. It's a company, when Dick Cheney ran it, did business in the 90s with Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Someone that I've been told by my government was evil. And they made a ton of money there. And because they made a ton of money, when Dick Cheney was asked by George Bush to run with him, when he left the company to do that, the company gave him $31 million to thank him, because that's what companies do. And so he took the money, and he ran to be the vice president, and he won. And at that point, I said, Vice President Cheney, I think you should return the money. And he said, Lewis, I think you should go fuck yourself. And he certainly had the right to say that, because he doesn't have to return the money, because there's no law in place, because we're fucking stupid. And we are. There are people who argue with me about this, and they're wrong. I usually see two sides to any question, and this time, no. I don't, because I think that we have got to rethink it, and we don't think about it very clearly, and neither do the people who lead us. We've elected you to be the vice president of this country, and by electing you to be the vice president, we have honored you in a way that is more important than money. That's why you don't get to keep the money, fucknut. Because we have said to you that we believe you are so good that you should be our leader and our role model. And if you're a really good role model, you should give the fucking money back. Because if you're the vice president, you don't have to worry for the rest of your life. And it may not be $31 million worth of no worries, but there ain't a moment in your life that you're ever going to want. You never read, he was the vice president, but now he's a heroin addict. He can walk into any bar in Minneapolis and the bartender go, fuck, it's the vice president. Somebody get him a margarita. The reason you don't give him the money is because Vice President Cheney is in charge of determining what our energy policy is going to be. And he's doing it with $31 million of oil company money in his pocket. Is anybody fucking home? If Big Oil gave anybody in this room $31 million, you'd be thrilled to be Big Oil's bitch. And I can guarantee the first time somebody pump your gas, you'd be so excited you'd probably blow them. And I'm sure now, with Homeland Security in place, that we all feel just a bit better tonight, don't we? I would feel better if they picked a real leader to be in charge of it. But they picked a guy named Tom Ridge, who has the leadership qualities of, well, a gerbil. I don't get it. It's unbelievable. They've come up with a list of color coordinates that were supposed to be, you know, it's pink, it's orange, it's fruity today. Smells like mauve, gotta run. It's unbelievable. Code orange, what the fuck? I thought that meant the color clothing you were supposed to wear. And that way we could figure out who the enemy was. The only job that Tom Ridge really has to do is to remain calm. And the first day that we went to Code Orange, Tom Ridge appeared on television and went, holy shit, we're fucked, I don't know what's going on here. There could be giant ticks everywhere, we don't know. All I can tell you with certainty is, if there's a chemical attack, buy duct tape. Our government told us that we could protect ourselves from a chemical attack with duct tape. I think it showed a lot of patience on our part to sit through that, because I thought what we should have done at that point is charge the government and electroshock everybody. Duct tape? The only way duct tape helps in terms of a chemical attack is if you can get enough that you can wrap it around yourself and die before the chemicals kill you. And what's amazing is these are the same group of people, when I was a kid, told me in case of a nuclear attack to hide under my desk. If you're in your 20s, you should really at some point go into the media library and take a look at what was being shown in the 50s to children in terms of how we should protect ourselves in case of a possible nuclear war. It was unbelievable. They actually would show a video. This was an instructional video shown to me by educators who basically wanted to teach me on death in a very deep level. And they would show a nuclear bomb going off and the school building, the glass was just flying everywhere. But there were the children hiding safely under their desks. And they'd have drills. They would actually fucking once a week make me climb under my goddamn desk to remind me I could die at any minute. And I'd get under my desk and you put your hand over your head and you look at your penis and I'm thinking, well, I'm never gonna see that again. And I'm thinking a bomb's gonna go off and I'm sitting under wood. I'm sitting under kindling. Why don't I get some sticks so I can burn faster? People are saying that this is the worst time to be a child. That's bullshit. Every time is the worst time to be a child because adults never know shit. It's really phenomenal that we're bringing democracy to Iraq. I can't wait to see how we do it. How do you bring, that was the thing. What, give them our civics books? Read this, it's Cracker Jack material. We'll be back next Thursday, we'll give you a test, you little fucks. Apparently Florida sent them voting machines. It's just amazing. I think 30% of us vote, and we're going to teach the world about democracy. The other 70% of us just go, fuck it. How does a group of people in which 30% of us actually spend the time enjoying the democratic process fucking tell another country about democracy? Like, boy, it's really great because you don't have to fucking do it. I have to say that before that war started, I listened to everything. I listened to both sides constantly. I kept a constant vigil in front of that TV. I read everything I could get my hands on. And after I listened to both sides, I became completely immobile. The days before the war began, I basically lay on my couch and shit my pants. It's my firm belief, and maybe I'm nuts, that it's the most ambivalent this country's ever felt, at least in my lifetime, about going into war. And that wasn't a question of being behind our troops or not. It's nonsense. We had every right to be ambivalent, you know, because of the way, you know, listen, if you want to have a war and you're the president, that's fine. But what your job is at the president, as president is, you have to manipulate me better. And they didn't do the job. And they didn't. It was a simple job. They could have done it. They could have done it over time. They could have done it from the point in which when we went into Afghanistan, the beginning of that war, the next war could have been, we could have been told from that point on that there was another war that was going to have to be fought. They could have done it then. They could have laid all the seeds. They could have laid all the groundwork. That's their fucking job. So by the time it comes around, I go, woohoo, we're going to war. So I'm excited. I may be ambivalent about war. I don't like war, but God damn it. Now I've got a reason, because he fucking told me. He's been telling me every day, and God damn it, he's right. That Saddam Hussein's a prick. I'm going to kick the shit out of him. But the fact is, what occurred was it's the first time that that war was mentioned was on September 12th, which was the day after the second anniversary of September 11th. And President Bush walked out on television in front of this country and said, we're going to go to war in Iraq, goddammit, because that son of a bitch has weapons of mass destruction. He has a ton of shit there, and he's the reason that Osama bin Laden was able to get away with the shit he did. And goddammit, he's really the problem. And I know we can't find Osama bin Laden, but we can get this cocksucker, I can assure you. And that's what we're going to do. And we don't give a fuck what the rest of the world thinks. So, hey, the rest of you, fuck yourselves. And then I sat there and went, what the fuck was that about? And then the members of his cabinet went, George, And then George was told, well, you know, there's the rest of the world, and you're going to have to deal with them. And he said, why? And then they said, here's a globe. See, countries. Countries. Here's New Zealand. You'll never go there. It's too far away. And so they calmed him down. And we went to the UN, which is what we should have done. And we had a discussion there. And we came up with a solution. And the solution was, what we were going to do was find out if there were weapons of mass destruction there. Woohoo, good idea. So they picked a man named Hans Blix to go in there. And I didn't trust that fucker at all. Because Blix is not the name of a human being, is it? You guys even live up here among the Scandinavians, and there's no one named Blix here. Nobody. He can take all the X's out of his name he wants. He's an alien. He's an alien. Has anyone seen his navel? I don't fucking think so. So Blix had to wander around in the fucking heat looking for shit. Not here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. And meanwhile, we stood on the sidelines like a bully, literally in a grade school, you know, yelling, you're not going to find anything, you fuck. Ha, ha, ha. And then, in the midst of that, while they're looking, to find the weapons, and many of those weapons we had given to them. We gave the man anthrax. How come there's not, why don't they, at least while we're fucking around here, go and grab the people who gave him anthrax and find out why? I mean, seriously, how many fucking, fucking whiskey sours would you have to have at a bar to be sitting next to Saddam Hussein and go, oh, you're a snuggy bear, we're going to get you anthrax. So in the midst of looking around, from North Korea, a gentleman who leads that country who looks like the winner of the Asian Elvis impersonator contest, and he pops up and he goes, I got nuclear weapons, aha, suck my dick, kiss my ass, wah-ha. And our government says, well, we'll negotiate with you. So we're going to negotiate with him. We're negotiating with the guy who has the weapons. But meanwhile, we're going to go after the guy, and we can't find the weapons. Saying to the world, we would rather play hide and seek. The idea that I was told by them, and that I thought was based on a risk game that I played, was Iran and Iraq and North Korea were the axis of evil. And so, and I know that the North Koreans are evil, and I do not know why we did not go in there instead. As soon as he said it, you kind of go, hoo-hoo, wouldn't you turn around and go, let's fucking get them. But because the North Koreans are evil, because when you ever see footage of them on television, it's always in black and white. Because the people of North Korea have lost their color. That's when you know a country is evil, when people lose their color. It's in the Bible, you fucks, look it up. Then we decide that we're going to prove to the world that there are these weapons of mass destruction there. And so we sent Colin Powell into the UN. He's got pictures. He's got a ton of them. They look like, well, fucking placemats is what they look like, with odd designs. Here, he said, here's Hans Blix. Oh, I fucking hate Blix. He's entering a chemical factory, and there's a truck leaving just as he's entering, and that truck is carrying a weapon of mass destruction or ice cream. Patience wore thin. And we appealed to all the nations of the world. And all the nations of the world said, you're fucking crazy. Most countries on the planet Earth said we were nuts. And we ignored them. And we even yelled about them. We yelled about the French, as if we expected the French to be any other fucking way. These people gave us wine, and they don't give a shit except about what's for dinner. So fucking get over it. And we don't care. And there'd be guys on TV, we don't give a fuck what they think in Kenya about this. Well, you know what? Well, you fucking have to, you don't have to fucking give a fuck, but pretend like you give a fuck. That's the deal. You have to go, well, you know, we're, you know, you gotta act like you're fucking interested. And the Democrats and the Republicans decided we couldn't wait anymore. And they go in, boy. And just before they go in, the government cuts a deal with Halliburton. The first contract signed in terms of dealing with damage in the oil fields was with Halliburton. A big, big fucking contract. And I thought, that's something they should have kept hidden. Don't do that. Hide it so at least I have to find it. And so by then, if you've hit it, by the time I find it, I'm so exhausted from looking, I'm not so angry. But don't just sit there and pull your pants down and shit on my face. And so, you know, we won the war. And it was blessedly done quickly. And now we can't find the weapons of mass destruction. And they're saying, well, that doesn't really matter. And I'm going, yeah, it fucking does. And it does matter. I don't know about you, but it matters because that's why we were told we were doing this. We all knew that there was a reason to go in there in terms of Saddam Hussein being a prick. Anybody who ever saw him said, but if he comes to my bar, I'll beat the fuck out of him. Because that's the reason that we said we were going in there. And you can make up all the other reasons you want now. But you have got to find the stuff. And if you're not going to find the stuff, then make up something else. You know? Because since it wasn't based on a real reason, and then it wasn't a real war. And then we don't need real proof. And that's what I'm asking for. I need a picture, and I don't give a fuck if the picture is real. Have the common sense to send two 15-year-olds into Kinko's. I need the picture of a camel with a nuclear weapon on its back. But the problem is that one of the scariest things to me about that war was the fact that it was not an easy war for people to take either side on. And the fact of the matter was that this country, as it does every time it comes down to war, completely loses its sense of humor. And when we do that, we become dangerously close to what we hate about our enemies. The terrorist is a person without humor at all. And we began to act like this. And neither side knew exactly what they were talking about. I've reached the point where everything I watch on television, I think, is a lie. I don't believe anything anymore. Because if I believe one side, then I start going, well, fuck, that's crazy. And then I leave the other side and go, well, they're crazier too. And then it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't fucking matter. So at least maintain your humor. And we didn't. They actually came out with, this administration did it. They actually started to yell that, you know, that those who were against the war, you know, once again it started, oh boy, you know, you might as well be for Saddam Hussein. Well, you know what? That's bullshit. And that kind of crap's got to stop. I didn't fucking spend my time living through the era of Vietnam to fucking come around to this fucking time and not having learned that the goddamn situation boils down to this. If you're against a war, it doesn't mean that you're for the other side. If people show up with signs that go, "Go Iraq, you fuckers, go." Then you go, "Holy shit," and then you beat the fuck out of them. But our enemy is scary because they have no humor. None. They never had humor. These are people who wandered the desert and never ran into a knock-knock joke. Which is the price you pay for living in tents. But all I'm saying is one would think they would have had a flap-flap joke. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love you guys. Thank you.